there was a vest and then a jacket. And we had a name tag and a little pin that said Legislative Assembly Page.
Welcome to Radio Free School.
My name is Elise Arith, and I am 13 years old. I have been homeschooled my entire life, and going to high school this September is going to be a huge change for me.
What's making you decide to go to school?
I would like some kind of a school experience before I go into a university program, and I know that we can cover the academics. That's not a huge deal, but it's all the, I don't want to say socialization, because that's totally against just everything that homeschooling is about.
Yeah.
But I want to know what it is like to sit in a class with more than, you know, one student and all that kind of thing. So that's definitely something, that's probably the biggest reason why I wanted to go to school. I want a locker.
Fire locker.
Also, you know, I want to take Latin. That's one of my big things. And I'm not sure that I could do Latin at home thoroughly enough that I could take it through to university. That's what I'm hoping to get a scholarship in.
I'm Shereen Arith. I'm Elise's mom and her homeschool provider. I think a lot of the reason that Elise wants to go to high school, and this is just a thus saith mother, is she's an only child. And so our homeschool environment, although not sheltered by any means, can get somewhat lonely. And I think also that's one of the primary reasons that she's decided to go to Westmount, which is a PACE program that's a self-directed program, much in line with what she's been doing for the last 4 years.
But you had a lot of opportunity as someone who doesn't go to school to do different things that sound really amazing, like a recent trip to Yellowknife, and you did a page experience.
I was a legislative assembly page.
Okay, so maybe do you want to just talk a little bit about those opportunities that you've had from just not being in school?
Well, the trip to Yellowknife was an amazing experience, and how I got into that was through the Heritage Fair. Because I was the National Historic Heritage Fair delegate from the Hamilton area in 2005. And while I was there, one of the girls who was in my room, because we were in actually classrooms on full mats at a high school, it was so much fun. I had an amazing time on this trip and I learned so much. And it was in Saskatchewan. So we did a ton of stuff in Saskatoon area. One of the girls who was in my room, we bonded. We actually became really, really close. And one time she said to me, hey, Elise, you should come up here as like a joke. And I said, okay. And being an actor, which is another thing that homeschooling has been able to offer me, because it makes it a lot easier to go to calls during school hours because I can do my work on set. I was able to get enough jobs and to make enough money to pay for my flights and all that kind of thing. Now, so I had to pay for the flight from Hamilton to Calgary. So I was able to make enough money through my acting to pay for that part of my trip, as well as, you know, have all my spending money and admission to get into museums and all that kind of thing. And it was a really good opportunity. And I'm not sure that it was all about homeschooling, but homeschooling did start it. The Legislative Page Program, that is basically, it's open to all grades 7 and 8 students who reside in Ontario, and to have an 80% average or higher. There are 300,000 grade 7 or 8 students in Ontario. Of that,
10%
are eligible.
Because they have 80%
average, mm-hmm. and that's required so that because the only subject that you carry forward through your page term is math. Mm-hmm. The rest of it you got to catch up on when you get back to school, which is it's difficult. It wasn't as difficult for me because I did have to catch up on it, but I didn't have to do it by the very end of June. Mm-hmm. It was a situation where I wasn't graduating or hoping to graduate in June because there were 20 pages in my group, and of that, I think 15 were grade 8 students.
Okay, what are some of the responsibilities you had to have as a page? Did you get paid?
An honorarium of
$10 a day.
So explain your day, because that's interesting.
Yeah, the day. I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning for Mom to drive me to the rendezvous point to be picked up by another page and her father, so that he would drive us to Clarkston Station to get on the 7:13 train on most days. On Thursdays, we had to get on the 7:03 train. So we got on the 7:13 train into Union Station. Mm-hmm. From there, we got on the subway in Union Station, took it 4 stops to Queen's Park Station, crossed Queen's Park Crescent, and the first day, one of the best stories, the farmers were protesting. They were doing all their demonstrations in my first 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We're trying to cross the street, and these tractors are going around, and we're going, is it safe? Is there a tractor? Okay, go! So we get there. We got to the legislature about 8:15 on regular days. The whole traveling on the GO train and all that, it was a little different for me the first few days, but after that it became habit. I'd eat my breakfast, then I'd have to go into class, because we did have classes. They just weren't things like English and all that kind of thing. So we'd go into our class and it was all legislative process, which was really neat because from what I understand, I will ace civics in high school. What we learned was we learned the entire legislative process for the Ontario Legislature, which was amazing to understand and who all the people were. And that was great for me to learn and understand because now I know how my government works.
Okay.
So we actually got the opportunity to have a mock parliament where we spent 2 hours in this little mini chamber and held our own parliament. And we presented a bill and petitions and statements by the ministry and all of that kind of thing, the same as is done in the actual legislature.
Right.
Well, I think it's interesting that she was elected Minister of Education. And that the statement?
Yes, my statement by the ministry pertained to home education. Because
particularly Bill 52.
Yes. Yeah. At one time, once we had all of our elections, the leader of the party that I was involved in came up to me and said, look, Elise, I'm not sure that you should be having the Minister of Education spot. It's because you've never been to school. And I said, okay, well, he's not Minister of the schools, is he?
Yeah.
Minister of Education. Does our current Minister of Education have any homeschool experience? Well, no. Well, there you go. You know, there's a lot of us in Ontario.
Yeah.
Back to my day. Mm-hmm. We'd go through all of our classes and everything. And then we'd go up to the chamber for our morning duties. And basically what that was we had to put things on the members' desks. We had to put the day before's Hansard, which is basically, it's a word-for-word recording that is printed out of everything that went on in the legislature the day before. So we had to put the Hansard into the big binders. If there was any bills presented, we had to put those into the binders. And then we had to put the orders and notices, which basically was what went on during the last day in like brief, broken down form. Like, okay, this bill was presented by this person. This person made a statement on this. That kind of thing. And then there was the votes and proceedings, which was if there was a vote held, then who voted for what would be put onto this thing, because it is a very open voting system. The only closed vote in the Legislative Assembly of Ontario is the election of the Speaker of the House. That's the only secret ballot vote. The rest is you stand up, and at the time that you're voting for, at the time, because it's all aye or nay kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, okay, we're voting for this person and this person and this person, because they don't have anything like that. But when for if you're voting against something, you stand up when they're asking for people who vote against it, and so on and so forth. So all of the people who voted for the specific things go into the votes and proceedings paper. So we had to clip those on top of the desks, straighten out the chairs and everything, and so then we'd head back down to the page quarters, where we would have our lunch, and then we would get into our uniforms during our lunch hour. The uniform was something that was, I think back on it now and I say, I am so glad I got to wear that uniform, but at the time it was like, I hate this uniform so much.
Mm-hmm. It was polyester.
Yeah, it was
so hot.
And it was very hot in the legislature at that time because they hadn't clicked it over from the heat to the air conditioning yet.
Oh, no.
And it was the end of March to the end of April. It was a 5-week term. So through that time it was so sweltering in this chamber. And the uniforms consisted of the black knee-high socks, black big baggy pants. That's something that that some of the other pages had a big problem with, was that they were so baggy. I was okay with it. It kept the air circulating a little better. And we had to supply white shirts, 4 of them. They could not have a button-down collar. They could not have any embroidery on them. They had to be plain white,
okay,
button up the front, which is difficult to find, especially for a teenager. So once we found that, I had to get a black leather belt with a silver buckle, black shoes. They could be laced up, they could not have any adornments or buckles, they could not be patent leather, they could not be suede. They had to be black.
They provide it themselves then.
that was one of the questions I asked. And the females had, they were called jebos, and basically it was this lace. The males all wore ties. But the jebos were so fun because they like fanned out and all that. And then there was a vest and then a jacket. We had a name tag and a little pin that said Legislative Assembly page. And so then we'd go into the chamber for our day, which was really interesting, but there was a lot of downtime too, because when they were debating bills and such, that all starts after that sort of the day. So we'd do all of the like really exciting fun stuff where you're flying around the chamber delivering notes to people and water.
Serious notes?
Some of them were just, you know, scribbles. There was a lot of both. Delivering water to the different members.
At least had a water incident.
Should I share?
With one of the members.
Yes, one of the members, Mr. Ernie Parsons, actually. One of the times, it was my second week, the very beginning of my second week, so I was really nervous. So we have to carry the water on trays. They're little glasses that we take out to the vending machine in the East Lobby. And fill them with water. There's like water and ice and all that kind of thing, and we have to carry them on these little silver trays.
Right.
So we carry the trays out, and then we put them on the members' coasters. But he ordered 2 glasses of water, one for him and one for the person who sat beside him. I put the water down in his coaster. He picked it up, and it slipped out of his hand because of all the condensation that formed on the outside of the glass, and it spilled all over the desk and him.
Oh no!
It was quite funny, and the entire chamber was laughing, of course, and I was made felt a lot better by some of the other members. One of them came up to me and said, no, you're supposed to throw it at them.
She had an opportunity to have lunch with the Speaker of the House.
Yes.
The clerk.
I had meetings with the head Hansard. Mm-hmm. I had meetings with the leader of the official opposition and with the recognized party, and I also got to have a meeting with the lieutenant governor. That was amazing. All the little things that they said to me, whether it was, you know, actual answers to my questions or even just little tidbits of fun stuff that was shared, because that was shared between some of the people we met with.
Radio Free School. A show by, for, and about home learners.
I'm going to play Evenstar from the motion picture in The Lord of the Rings, and it's composed by Howard Shore, and Madeline Kay, which is me, is going to play it on the violin.
Experience you've had, was there anything that really struck you that you thought that, you know, you might, if you ever got into politics, you would really want to change or do something differently, or was anything?
Listen to each other. They don't listen to each other. Yeah. They have their, it's the whole blinders thing that I was talking about. They have blinders on and they think what has been poured into their minds by their party leaders. I had to be very nonpartisan for this, so I saw it from all sides. So what has been poured into their minds by their party leaders, not as much what they believe, but what they should believe more than anything. So through the experience, I think they should listen to each other more. As opposed to just yelling at each other, you know, shame, 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 and beating on their desks, because they do that all the time. They should be quiet and listen to what the other person is saying and see it from their perspective, and then put out a good debate, mm-hmm. not... Well, you know, what the member neglects to remember is that when your party was in power,
that's all they do.
It's all just turning it around and making it finger pointing. Okay, fine, yes, they made some mistakes. Change them, make it better.
Yeah.
That's something that I would like to change. Yes. And see it from all sides. Mm-hmm. Yes, you can have your opinions. I have very strong opinions. But I listen to other people's opinions, and I give them debate, and I tell them why I disagree with their opinions. I don't just turn around and say, well, when that happened...
And how about the actual structure of the whole parliament? I mean, really, if you had that possibility, if you could change stuff, if you could change the structure, the way government is run, would there be something else besides it? And this is a very good point.
She was able to compare two different types of government in Canada, because Yellowknife's government is very different. So I think she's got a pretty good opinion
on that. I think that I wouldn't change our government at all in Ontario, because it comes from England. It comes from their government. That's why, if you look at the way our chamber is set up, all the members face each other. That's because when they first started, even in Canada, it was all done in like chapels. And the speaker sat where the spiritual leader basically showed, so the priest or the, all that kind of thing. And the members, the way the chapels were all set up, was that they faced each other. They didn't, it wasn't rows of pews like this, it was rows of pews like this. So that's how our legislature is still set up today, which is really, really neat. And because it comes from the, I don't want to say ancient, because England isn't that ancient, because it comes from their form of government, the way everything that happens in the English Parliament is all the same as ours. When I was in Yellowknife, I was able to compare our government with parties and the outside world basically electing the people to the Yellowknife government, where there are no parties, and the members themselves elect their premier, and the members themselves elect who their ministers are, which there's a lot of undertable dealing that goes on. And I understand that there's a lot of that in our legislature as well, but it's not as severe. Like, if you make me premier, I'll support you in this endeavor that you want to complete. That doesn't go on in our legislature because there isn't that opportunity. I think that our legislature is pretty good the way it is because it has a very good form to it. The way the members act to each other, the one thing that I would change is that they should all have to be there. Like, I have to be at my job.
Yeah.
You know, I have to be there. If I get sick, I can take a sick day. That's okay. Everybody who works has to be at their job for certain hours, and the members don't. Sometimes there are supposed to be 103 members who are, there's 103 members of the Legislative Assembly of Ontario. And on votes, you'll often see, okay, it is, you know, 52-3, which often happens because the Liberal Party and the Progressive Conservative Party will band together. And then the NDPs just want to disturb it. So they'll vote against it just because it's the way they want to be. So something I would change is that they have to be there. Often there's not even half the members there.
And they call to a vote. So if they're not in the chamber, if they're somewhere else, like having cookies in the lobby, which is done quite a bit.
Oh, yes. And they make the pages eat the cookies.
They call them to vote. We spent, my husband and I spent a day, the day at least, was page captain at the legislature. The first 3 hours, there were maybe a dozen members in the chamber. For the first 3 hours of the day, until a vote was called, and then perhaps half of the assembly straggled in, quite literally straggled in. So yes, I can understand them having to be there. The accountability. I would love to see accountability in politics, just in general. When you're elected on a specific platform, to follow through on that platform. Wouldn't that be nice?
That would be very nice. I think that's probably a dream. The underrepresentation of women, was that something that you...
We're not underrepresented as much as the fact that there's just not many of us who run. And actually, while I was there, there was some very impassioned, but also to me, it made me emotional, some of them, because I am very much a women's rights person. I have very, very set views on all of that kind of thing, and there were some very in-depth bills that went out about women's rights and all that kind of thing while I was there. So having seen that, I don't think we were underrepresented. It was more the fact that there's just not many women who run. From what I've seen, those who run more often get elected than the males. It's interesting, because when I was there, there were 3 empty seats in the legislature. Partway through my term, those 3 seats got filled. 2 of them were filled by women, and 1 was filled by a man. Which was something that said to me, well, maybe we're getting stronger. Maybe we're coming into this more.
Okay, so just one more thing. So you write, you've been able to write, you've been able to act. You want to just quickly just, you know, as someone that's
I am an amateur writer. I write everything from essays to fictionist stories to... I write a lot of poetry. When I want to express myself, I write poetry. That's the best way for me.
Screenplays?
Screenplays. I've written screenplays. I've written stage plays.
Wow,
cool. I'm an actor. I'm a member of ACTRA, which is the Alliance of Canadian Television and Radio Artists.
Okay.
I have been in so many productions, I can't even count. Recently, I was in a production called In God's Country. And I was playing the bride of a Mormon polygamist, which was very strange. I play a lot of very weird roles. That was my most recent role, and that was just before I left for my trip. I haven't gotten any work since I got home. I public speak a lot. I've progressed through many levels of public speaking through a local fair to my cottage, actually. It's called the Norwood Fall Fair. I've gone through a couple of the levels of the Lions Club Effective Speaking Program and the Royal Canadian Legion Effective Speaking. All that kind of thing. I am an air cadet, which is a wonderful thing to do because I've got to go flying. And when I was young, she told me that she wanted me to spread my wings and fly. I took her literally.
Well, you must be very proud. I think it's great.
I am very proud of her. I do want to say, though, that all of these opportunities are open to all children, not just homeschooled children. I think it's a foundation of an education to allow your children various opportunities. Whether she had been in school or at home, she probably would have pursued all of these various activities. Certainly, homeschooling has given us an opportunity to take time. But I believe that had she been in a traditional school setting, that would have been allowed to her, primarily because of our involvement as parents in her education, regardless as to whether it's at home at our dining room table or whether she was at a desk, we would still have been very involved.
But on the other hand, though, maybe she would you might not have, just because you were in a different situation, you might not have had that chance to actually develop those interests. So, I don't know, sometimes she...
It's difficult to say.
We
definitely have a lot of friends with children who have similar interests, who do similar things, who are traditionally schooled, or quote-unquote traditionally schooled, because personally I feel homeschooling is far more traditional than institutionalized schooling, but that's just a personal opinion. Most of society sees institutionalized schooling as being the norm. Elisa's opportunities are open to everyone. Certainly every child who is a page can come from any sector of society. All you have to do is take the time to look into it. Spark the interest in your child, whether you're at the dining room table or they're at a desk. And I think that's where a lot of her interests have come from. She's amassed more than 500 hours of volunteer hours. So when the vice principal during her interview at Westmount said, you'll be required to have 40 volunteer hours over 4 years, she was like, well, if I do that in 1 year, is that all right? And then she's also going for the
Duke of Edinburgh Award.
Other interests that she's had, she's been through guiding, she said dance, she's in synchronized swimming, she does diving.
What about socialization?
Interesting when you bring up the whole socialization issue. That is one of the biggest benefits I have found in homeschooling, is that invariably the homeschoolers we have encountered over the years, and I believe I've been doing this for 13 years, not just 8 years, because we start educating our children as soon as they come out of the womb, that all homeschoolers get along socially well with 2-year-olds to 102-year-olds. And I haven't found many that don't, unless there are other issues that are involved.
The end!
I'm gonna wrap myself in paper. I'm gonna daub myself with glue. Stick some stamps on the top of my head. I'm gonna mail myself to you.
Contact Radio Free School at grassroots@hwcn.org or mail P.O. Box 19, 1280 Main Street West, Hamilton, Ontario, Canada, L8S1CO.